Vancouver Island, a land full of rich, diverse cultures where you will find hippies and rednecks at the same local brew pub, blue-collar and white-collar camping side-by-side at the lakes, and old and young and everyone in between with one thing in common, we love our island. If you've lived long on Vancouver Island, you've noticed that there are kind of geographical locations that we talk about, whether it's South Island, Mid-Central Island, and North Island. Today we're going to be joined by Dylan Benson, who is someone who has explored thoroughly the south end of the island from Victoria to Nanaimo, and here are some of his favorite places and recommendations for you this summer. Well, I never really thought that I would get to a place where I was going to be having a reoccurring guest, somebody coming back. And so when I was writing up, you know, kind of the email for this particular episode, it was really fun to use different language, like just a reminder, come on back. And we have coming on back. Dylan Benson, welcome back, Mr. Benson, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So kind of the focus of what we're going to be talking about a lot today, for those that are listening in, is places you can go, especially for this next spring and summer, because everybody's kind of looking at where they're going to take the kids, where they want to take themselves. And we cover a wide variety on the show as far as like where you could go if you're going to do more technical stuff. What we're going to be focusing on mostly today is places you could take your family, take it maybe just yourself or your significant other, something like that, that gets you into some beautiful, beautiful country. And you have a lot of experience, especially, I would say, Nanaimo South. You got lots of stuff up north, too. But I would love to kind of dive in a little bit to those, you know, favorite spots, kind of where your go-to places are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that for my experience, I've basically grown up with, you know, having my son Ivor with me and going hiking and always having him there. Basically, I had to always figure out a place that you can go with kids, yeah, either in a backpack or on foot. And so I haven't really done a lot of technical stuff. I don't really do a lot of climbing mountains and whatnot. We mostly chase waterfalls.
Oh, beautiful though.
You know, it's great because when you're going out with kids, in my experience, like the view from a mountaintop doesn't really do it for a kid.
Mm.
So although as an adult, you're out there and you're like, wow, we're up so high, it's great. But you're also, I mean, it's a struggle to climb up a mountain. Like, I don't care who you are. That's just difficult.
It's something you recognize much, much later. And you're like, I'm really proud of myself, but I'm not sure I want to do it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I don't really want to, like, I'm not here to challenge my kids' physical ability, yeah, when we're going out for an adventure. So, yeah, we do a lot of waterfall chasing. And for me, hitting up the West Coast, so going, you know, living in Victoria for so long, going up past Souk and then just starting hitting the beaches on the Wanda Fuca Trail.
Mm.
I mean, that's basically, you know, why we would do that certainly several times over the summer. And so
and so fast changes to wild, right? Like as soon as you go past Souk and
yeah,
you start getting out there, like that's probably the neatest contrast to that area is that you're in Victoria, you kind of go through Souk and then all of a sudden it's trees.
Yeah, that's right. And so Sandcut Beach is like super easily accessible. I would say it's probably a 15-minute walk from the parking lot. The trees, some of the trees along the pathway have faces kind of like carved into them and mouths made out of rocks built into the trees along the way. So something for kids to keep an eye out for. And then, yeah, once you get down to the beach, it's probably 6 minutes until you're at the waterfalls that like cascade down onto the beach. And they part in the middle. So you kind of get two waterfalls. And it really only goes down about 9 feet or so. But it's just you can stand behind the waterfall. And yeah, like year round, it's beautiful. You could also just take a little, you can do a very minor climb and walk on the top of the waterfalls and just follow the river all the way back up. So it's super easy to go with kids and it's, you know, and it's super safe. That's, you know, we've gone there lots and lots of times and even adults that I've taken there for their first time just fall in love with it.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, it's super picturesque as well. And then going up the, you know, kind of going up the trail there, Mystic Beach is, you know, it's such a classic.
Mm. And you see a lot of pictures of it, right?
Yeah, so you see pretty. A lot of pictures of it. The swing, big falls coming down into the ocean. There's, there's a, I found a little shortcut to get there. So if you go to Mystic Beach and you park at the regular parking lot, which is if you're driving down there, you take the China Beach day use parking lot, and that's where you would park and when you would walk down. But that way, if you walk down, it's like, it's about an hour and a half, I think, from the parking lot all the way down to Mystic Beach. And you're going to cross over a suspension bridge and, you know, sometimes you just, you know, an hour and a half to get down there. And then if you're down there and you don't hang out there down there for that long, and now another hour and a half back to your car is, you know, like, it's a big adventure. It's a big day.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And, you know, when you've got young kids, sometimes that's a bit much. There is, you know,
lots of tears along the way.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we found a, I found a shortcut a while ago that, if you're driving down the highway and you go past the China Beach Day Use Trail, you'll see a, you cross a bridge and then it says, Pete Wolf Creek, and you can pull over and park there. And then just across the road, like on the Mystic Beach side of the road, there's a little trail. And if you walk down that trail about 20 feet, it connects with about halfway down the path. So you, like, you skip the whole suspension bridge, you skip 45 minutes of walking, and you basically just start walking down towards the beach for about 30 minutes.
Right,
and so you're skipping a whole bunch of it. And so it's great too, because the, when you're hiking back up from the Mystic Beach, like from the beach, like, it's, you know, it's still it's incline all the way up, right? Mm-hmm. You're literally down at the beach, and now you're going to go whatever, 100 meters up or whatever it is. But it's a lot of stairs and roots and whatnot to climb over. So eliminating half of that walk with kids is definitely the way forward.
Oh, totally. And a great teachable moment, being able to, you know, say, we all go downhill, but then you got to go back uphill. And that's always a fun one to teach kids. So then that, see, I love stuff like that, because like going to China Beach, like I remember doing that as a kid. I think it was China. Yeah, it was China Beach. Going through there, like you would never even think about all these other places, right?
Yeah.
Like there's all these little gems that are all going to be along the way there. And so is that something that you kind of found just over time exploring the area yourself? Was it other people? Like where did you usually find your information for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, mostly going with other people who had gone before. Mm. And then of course, just seeing pictures online, and then just starting to like really do searches online for it. Speaking of China Beach, like I had gone to China Beach several times as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, perhaps we went annually for a few years. I didn't know that there was a waterfall at China Beach.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't learn this until
my mid-30s. And then I went with somebody and they were like, oh, have you been down to the waterfall at the end? And I was like, get out of here. But like, you know, you can stand in the base of it basically and swim around in there.
Totally.
So that's pretty great. But all of those beaches. So after going to Mystic Beach and then, of course, Sombrio Beach, we've gone there lots of times. The Hidden Cave.
That's the one with all like the green moss and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Hidden Falls of Sombrio. It's interesting because, so I went there, for the first time I ever went there, I went camping with some friends. Mm. And we had, the person who was organizing our camping trip, they had drawn a little map of where on the beach. So like, if you follow the trail down, now you're going to go here and you're going to hang a left and you're going to keep going over here. And then they put like waterfalls there. But that's where we were going to camp, was just basically near the base of that. And so I kind of just stumbled across it as we were camping and somebody pointed out that that's where it was. But I've met and talked with lots of people online when I've posted photos of it or seen other posted, people are like, you know, like, where is it? Because I've been there, like I've been to Sombrio Beach a dozen times. I've never been able to find these falls.
Right.
Right. And Sombrio is a big beach. And I suppose if you went the wrong way or didn't go far enough, you just wouldn't see it or whatever. But, you know, I think that it's obviously the sharing locations here on Vancouver Island can get a bit of a contentious topic depending on who with. And so some people, because over time, because the Sombrio Beach has been well known as a beach for, you know, like there was camps there, right, for years. People literally lived in the bushes near there. And so people have, I don't know what you call graffiti, if it's carving into the rock, like, you know, that's kind of what it is.
What would you call that word?
Yeah,
that's right? A good word.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna find that one out. Graffiti in sand, sanditi.
Right. Oh, you know. Wow. Yeah. You're definitely, you know, you're defacing the rock space.
Sure. Yeah. You're altering the landscape.
Yeah. And so people have done silly things like whatever, putting their initials in hearts and stuff like that. And you know, but at the same time, like, we hear lots of people that say, oh, don't tell people where the hidden falls are. Mm-hmm. Or people will say, oh, they're not hidden anymore because everybody knows about it. Mm. However, like I still 100%, like if I post a photo of it, somebody's going to say, like, where is it? I've never been able to find it. And so, I mean, the answer is get down to the beach and then hang a left and then just keep going for about 20 minutes.
You'll
probably pass a single stream, and then about 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later, you pass another stream and you just follow that stream up and you'll see the cave. It's literally, you know, from the ocean, it's probably at, you know, at low tide, it's probably 35 feet up at the stream. And then you just see, you know, a little river going up. And yeah, I mean, it takes 4 minutes to hike from, you know, from where you would camp on the beach to the, you know, to the actual cave itself. And it's really, it's, you know, it's Mariko's favorite spot on the whole island. That's like, she's decided that that's her favorite spot. We've gone back several times. The kids love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I mean, how many times do you get to, you know, like find some waterfalls in a cave?
Totally.
You know,
it's just such on a the beach thing, right? Yeah. And it's not something that everybody finds, which I think is also part of the, you know, attraction to it too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, all of those beaches up that Juan de Fuca Trail are, you know, and like for me, I haven't done the Juan de Fuca Trail. However, like I've seen photos of like, I don't know how many other waterfalls and neat spots that are along the way that I would love to see. I haven't seen. So it's,
you've just done it without the big grunts, man. And that's not
the best. I know. Right. That's the thing is that, right, it takes it like timing and dedication to, right, like to do the trail itself, you know, from start to finish and see all of those things. Cause I know that I'm missing out on a bunch, and like at some point I have to do it just so I can go and see those places.
Oh, once Ivor's a little older, right? And then you get to.
I know. Yeah, we'll have to. And then, of course, at the end of that trail, you've got Botanical Beach, which, you know, whatever, is like no other place, really. Yeah. I mean, like the tide pools there for.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And stuff. Yeah, I mean, right, like there's, those tide pools are gigantic. Mm. And the rock is, you know, those rock formations are just spectacular. And, you know, that's another place that's super accessible with kids, right? It's like you park and you walk for 35 minutes and then you're at the beach and you can explore a botanical beach all day.
Right on.
You know, you can just be there. There's tide pools for days and, you know, of course, you know, whatever, sea anemones and urchins and fish and, you know, hermit crabs and everything. So, yeah, I mean, all of those spots for anybody who's looking for, like, what's the easiest way to do it? Mm. I mean, you know, we even go from Nanaimo and then just like we'll pick two of those, you know, like let's do, you know, whatever, Sand Cut and Botanical, because we know that like the hike-in time is very minimal for Sand Cut. And so you're kind of in and out. You can be done that in an hour. And so it gives you time to go and hit another one before heading home. So
whoever wants to do everything in volume when it comes to, you know, these beautiful places, right? Like you don't want to hit all of them. You know, I've been going through a book. Oh, I'm not going to get the name of it right. I don't look at the cover very often reading the rest of the book, but it's about like the West Coast Trail, about these folks that went through it. And that's kind of the idea, right? You don't want to just rush through and just see as many places as possible. You want to do it in a concentrated effort. One of the things I wanted to point out, and I love that you always post about this too, when it comes to leave no trace principles and stuff. And we talk about that a couple different times here on the show too, but I think that's such an important thing for anybody listening to remind themselves like what that actually is. So I think you're going to do a better job unpacking it, because I love the way that you use the wording and stuff like that for that practice. But when you think of leave no trace, what does that mean to you?
I think in essence, really, it's the pack it in, pack it out. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, take only pictures and leave only footsteps,
totally,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, to go even further than that is like leave your footsteps on marked trails. Mm-hmm.
Which is a hard one to explain to a kid, right?
Because
they want to go everywhere, want to see everything, want to touch everything. But then you're kind of going back to that same thing we were talking about if everybody did that, that bank is gone. If everybody did that, those trees are gone. You know, if everybody had campfires in Strathcona Park, there's no wood left.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, yeah, it's really pack it in, pack it out. And also just, you know, be respectful of the nature that you're there to see. And if you're going to do things, I don't know, if you're going to go somewhere, like either look up what the rules are. Mm. You know, so I got a drone last year, and then I found out that it's illegal to fly a drone in a provincial park.
Pilot's license, man.
Even if you have one, you can't fly a drone at a provincial park unless you get like prior special access.
Permission. Yeah.
And so, you know, which is, you know, whatever, I found out the hard way by I didn't do the research. Mm. I took a photo of it and then I posted it on the internet. And then a kind photographer said, hey, man, did you know there's a group of photographers that will like come after you if you do that? Because it's not cool. Mm. And so I immediately took it down because I don't want to, you know, whatever, do something wrong and just leave the evidence sitting there on the internet. And I've, whatever, I tried to have, if other people have done that, I've messaged them to go, hey, like,
yeah,
great shot, but, you know, just so you know, you can't really do that. And, you know, hey, man, if somebody wants to leave that up, I mean, I don't know, it seems weird to commit a crime and leave the evidence just sitting there for everybody to see, but...
You know, somehow people on the internet just seem to be able to do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see, like, stuff, I follow a lot of conservation officers and stuff, especially down in the States, and there's a couple poachers that are just, like, bragging about what they've taken. You're like, really? Like, that was your plan? Like, at what point did you think this was a good idea? Well, yeah, thank you very much, because now you're, you know, you're busted.
So, yeah, I think just for Leave No Trace, I mean, I put it at the base of all of my posts just as a reminder, because there, I mean, there, it just, it's just going to be a thing, right? That as there's more and more people, we're like, even if nobody's trying to, just the volume of people going to places will increase as there are more people.
Yeah.
And, you know, as someone who has a following, you know, that I do influence people to go to places, you know, just, and I, you know, I hope for, in my mind, it's like, because I'm, I feel great when someone is like, hey, I didn't, I wasn't aware of this place. Now I'm going to go see it. Mm. Like I've inspired someone to get outside and that's, you know, I feel great about that. You know, I certainly hope that anybody who follows me and is going to these places is the kind of person who would be respectful because they've come to, you know, my page because they want to see these things. Hopefully they're going to go see it in person and respect it. I'd like to think that the those same people aren't just going to go and leave garbage everywhere. Mm. But yeah, I think we all just need to make sure that we're putting in the effort to certainly not take any garbage. And, you know, like, yeah, if you take a cup, bring it with you back. And yeah, don't scratch your name in anything. And don't, certainly don't spray paint anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, yeah, unfortunately, Jack Point in Nanaimo, which is a, you know, it's got some of the most stellar rock formations here, like on the South Island for sure. You know, there's been a lot of actual graffiti in the sandstone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if I don't need to, I don't know what to say about graffiti in sandstone. Yeah.
Just right, either we got to make a term or we got to figure out.
Yeah,
who's
I mean,
got one.
Clearly there's just something wrong about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. You, like we don't, you can't send somebody down to a beach with a power washer to power off power wash sandstones.
No, you're going to take out the whole bank, right? And it's about being a steward, and I think that that's something that, that you do a really good job of as well, like making sure that if people are going to experience these places, if you're going to go and check them out, there's a responsibility, and we have a responsibility for whatever we're going to be able to encourage people to do, especially in the backcountry, because there isn't somebody there all the time saying, hey, don't do that, hey, don't do this, right? There's a lot of responsibility on the individual. And if we don't do that as a community, I mean, those privileges start getting taken away and then people get upset. I mean, we've seen it here in the Comox Valley multiple times where there's trails that people want to, you know, be a part of and then they get shut down or get, you know, because they're abused.
Yeah.
And so it's that short term, you know, like idea of like, wow, we'll just use it and abuse it and it'll be great. And it's what we've always done. It's like, well, just because we've always done it doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Yeah. Even things, I think a lot of it comes down to education as well. And I think that, you know, that's part of the reason I just put like the Leave No Trace principles in hopes that if somebody doesn't know what it is, that you'll look it up.
Yeah.
You know, ask me or just look it up.
Yeah.
Because I think some things you just, if you don't like search for the education and nobody tells you specifically, like you might not know, you know, even things like when you go to like a national park, you know, like Fort Rod Hill or is that, or one of the, you know, anywhere in the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Like you
there's
can't, you
there,
can't yeah. take the shells.
Yeah.
Right. If you go to the beach, which, you know, like at many other places and beaches, right? Clearly, lots of people go to beaches and collect shells.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's like, that's okay, depending on where you're going, I suppose. But really, we should all be leaving it there.
Mm-hmm.
But you really can't do it in a national park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if there isn't a sign that says so specifically, people might take these things home as a memento. And really, that's just, it just shouldn't be happening. So it's just education on learning what's okay and what's not okay.
If you want to learn a lot about humanity and how much signage they actually need, you just need to go to a national park, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Within 5 minutes, you're like, really? They needed to say that? Wow, I got questions.
Yeah.
I got lots of questions. So that covers some like some beaches and especially that coastline down there by the Wanda Fuca area, which is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. What are some of the other like locations and stuff at kind of as you creep up the island? Like that's a this kind of a Victoria, not even just north of Victoria, but what else?
Here? Yeah, so Stocking Creek Falls in Chimanas is a beauty. It's you know it's another smaller waterfall, but you know it's probably a 20-minute hike in, but it's not even a hike; it's just a walk through a woodland path. Mm. Really,
is it like a regional park or a provincial?
Park? Yeah, I think it is a regional park.
Yeah.
And so that's just outside of Chimanas, and yeah, you just literally get a beautiful walk through the woods, and then you're there. Christie Falls in Ladysmith is. I've been there. I went there once years ago, and I can't find where I originally parked to go there. And so now, whenever I'm going there, I search Christie Falls Trailhead, and it's off Oyster Stow Low Road.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So that's just in Ladysmith, and so you kind of park there, and then you hike up. You walk past. There's like a water tower there. And then you just keep going down the path for quite a while. It's got some incline, but not too terrible. And then you get to the base of Christie Falls, and it's just waterfalls for days.
Mm.
So you hike up the side, like right beside the waterfalls, and like the hike up will probably take you, you know, 25 minutes, and it's like somewhat of a scramble. You're not really, you don't have to grab onto things by any means. You know, you're not pulling yourself up the side of a rock, but yeah, you're taking big steps. You're watching where you're going and whatnot. But then there are two humongous waterfalls side by side, just coming down over the rocks. And, you know, it's, you get to cross over a river, like walking across a wooden log, go to the other falls. And last time I went there, I took my drone with me and I sent it up to, and like, I had no idea that like these waterfalls just keep going even, like you can't walk up as far as the waterfalls
wow,
go. They just keep
so
going
cool.
and going and going. That's probably, yes, that's Nanaimo South, really. Those are kind of my favorites. And then, in Nanaimo, I mean, lots of places to go that we go here. So Ammonite Falls in Nanaimo has just recently gotten, you know, this is, I guess it just got finished at the end of March. I think on the 21st is when it opened. So you used to have to rappel down a cliffside, down some ropes to get down to the base of the falls. And I had done it with Ivor like several times when he was younger. And so, you know, like he would just hold on to my neck. Totally baby bear. And I would just like have his feet tucked into my arms, and then I would use the rope and rappel us down. We went once with Mariko, and she was super scared to go down because she's scared of heights anyway. And so she went down there on the rope and then realized that like, oh, it's super wet and everything as well. And she was like, I'm never doing that again. That was neat to be on here, but I'm not doing that again. And so they've just built a whole walkway down there.
Nice.
And so you don't have to rappel down anymore. You just walk down a beautiful wooden path to the base of the falls.
Oh, right on.
And so to do that, park, it's in Nanaimo. You just Ammonite Falls from the parking lot. It's conveniently marked. You walk up the road for about 2 minutes, and then you hit the pathway, and you just follow the signs to say the Ammonite Falls. And as you're walking on the trees on the way, there's orange markers that have numbers in them. And one thing that you know our kids love to do is, you know, like knowing that there's 31 of these squares with numbers in them. And so as you're walking, oh, we're already at number 15.
Oh, that's huge.
You know, and so you can just, right. And so there's.
You should have that on the highway. That would make road tripping so much better. Actually, maybe not. Maybe not.
Right.
We went to Alberta as kids. That wouldn't have been good.
Yeah. How many more hundred are we supposed to find?
I'm good.
But yeah, so, I mean, Ivor loves to do that. And, you know, they're probably spaced maybe, I don't know, every, 100 meters apart from each other or so. So, yeah, I mean, you're just keeping an eye out for those as you go along. And now, yeah, now there's a nice wooden path down to the falls. And That's a beauty. We checked that out as soon as we heard this thing was open again, and it was definitely worth it.
That's awesome. We did your story triggered another one for us, is that we did Trent River Falls, which is just like you're going down the Inland Island Highway, you see a bridge and it says Trent River. That's about all you get. But underneath there is a little path that's kind of just been carved out over time. And it's the same thing. Like you get to the point where it's like a beautiful little path. It's really, really nice. And then all of a sudden you're on this rope. And we went and did it last spring when everything was still pretty like shut down. Like it was still kind of a weird time, but we were like, oh, we'll go on in a little adventure. And just about verbatim, my wife, for what you're saying about Mariko, it's the same thing. She got to that point where she was sitting on that rope and she's like, why are we here? It's raining. It's slippery. It's down to the cliffside and down to a waterfall. And you just, you know, sometimes I don't know. I take my family crazy places, but, you know, it's just, you're just trying to help, right?
Yeah, that's right. That reminds me of another one in Port Alberni, Wiener Falls. So it also has a rope that you have to go down. Mm. And so we found out the hard way, of course. I went with just Mariko and we got there and she was like, it ain't happening.
She was like,
I'm gonna wait right here at the top and you go down there. And so of course I did. And I FaceTimed her from down there so that we could have this experience together, you know?
Modern world.
That's right. You know, but it's beautiful for sure. And very photogenic for anybody who likes to take photos of waterfalls. It's a beauty.
That's awesome. And then as you kind of go up a little bit, have you done, you obviously did Little Qualicum.
Yeah. Little Qualicum Falls is great. Englishman River. I mean, those are definitely fan favorites. Mm-hmm. And both of those are, you know, that's less than 10 minutes from the parking lot to the waterfalls.
Yeah. Drove by that my whole life. We went, right. You know, we would go to Port Alberni, we'd go to Tofino, you see a sign, and that's it. And I could not believe it when we actually stopped there. Like, man, this is spectacular. And right here.
Yeah.
There's so many of those spots. And I don't know if I've done Englishman River, but I've seen the pictures. But
yeah, I mean, like now when I'm going to do one, I just do them both.
Mm, sure.
Right? Because they're, well, I don't know what they are, maybe 12 kilometers apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as somebody who, you know, I might not get an opportunity to get out again for a week or 2 weeks just because life gets busy. Mm-hmm. And so I'll go get them both, especially just for somebody who's looking for content for Instagram.
Yeah,
you know totally. What I mean? So like, yeah. I not only do I get to enjoy seeing two gigantic waterfalls, but I mean, that's whatever, photos and reels for quite a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then have you spent much time in like the Port Alberni area? Because there's a couple locations there too, like Hole in the Wall is down there, isn't it?
Yeah, Hole in the Wall in Port Alberni is, I mean, I don't know, like how could you not like that place as a kid? So, Hole in the Wall, I've been a bunch of times. The kids love it. So it's a man-made hole through, I don't know what the rock material is, but way back in, I think it was in the 70s, they were putting a pipe through this, the pipe must have been.
It kind of looks like shale or something.
Yeah, it does kind of look like shale.
That. Yeah,
and so
I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, they put this gigantic hole through this rock, and then I'm assuming they abandoned the project or whatever, because now there's just a hole. And so,
okay, I didn't actually know that. So it's man-made.
Yeah, the hole was man-made. And so in the winter months, it's still really beautiful to go and see, but you can't really... I don't know, like part of the magic of the Hole in the Wall is that in the summer months, like basically a tiny bit of, it's a waterfall that comes through. You can't really call it a waterfall because the water doesn't fall. It just slides through. It's slow. It just slides down the hole into like, so it comes from up top and it just goes down through the hole into the river at the bottom of it.
And water flow.
It's just a water flow. That's right. It's Water Flow Wednesday.
Hey, could be the next thing, right? Man.
So, but at the base of that, you know, where the water comes out of the hole, is that you can swim in there. Mm. And I'd say it's probably, I don't know, maybe it's 5.5 feet deep.
It's super accessible for a lot of people.
Super accessible. Yeah. And like a whole bunch of it is probably only 3 feet deep. So the kids can just hang out in there, really. Mm-hmm. And there are probably, I'm going to ballpark forget, 150 cairns. Like on both sides of the hole in the wall, there are just people just go there. They just make cairns. And so like there, as far as the eye can see, there's just, some of them are gigantic. Some of them are very complex, but I've never seen so many anywhere else on the island. It's super unique. And
just for anybody who's listening, for cairns, they're like a stacked up rock usually. And mm-hmm. so there'll be like a way marker. A lot of the time you'll see them in either backcountry or on trails, but there'll be like a stack of rocks. You'll see they're like, well, that didn't just happen naturally.
Yeah.
That looks like someone did that.
Yeah. So I'd say probably all of them are whatever, 12 to 15 rocks uniquely stacked on top of each mm-hmm, other. Mm-hmm. And so that's super neat to see. And when we went in the summer last time, so I had heard that at the hole in the wall, that if you keep following the river, there's a second waterfall.
Always another.
Right? And I had never been.
Grass is greener, other waterfalls.
Yeah, so we did that in the summer, and it was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to go in the water because Mariko's scared of heights and didn't want me and the children to have to, I don't know, scale down the side of this hill or whatever. It's like... There's a rope fence, I guess.
It's a generous rope fence.
Yeah. You know, we have different ideas of, you know, levels of safety.
That's right. Everybody's got their different scale.
And so anyway, Mariko and the children were up at the top of this waterfall and I was down at the bottom checking out the water was so green. There's a rope there. Mm. I'm sure it's a fantastic swimming spot for people in the summer. So that's the hole in the wall. Yeah. Go hit the hole in the wall and then keep walking for 10 more minutes down the river. Boom. Second waterfall.
Nice. So what are your kind of pro tips? We've covered a lot of places. Like, it's been great firing squad as far as like locations you could go, Nanaimo South or even over to Port Alberni. What are some of the go-to kind of things that you bring when you're bringing the kids? Is there like specific things that you bring? Is there strategies you do? Like, I'm always like full of snacks, obviously, because I'm like, all right, I got to get you to point A, B, C, and D. So that means I need a snack for each one of those. But for you, like, what is some of the things that you always bring in with you?
Well, admittedly, I am not the guy who goes prepared to everything. And it's, you know, it's been a work in progress with Mariko because, like, I've always just been like, I'm just going to take some water.
Maybe it's better that you don't go in the backcountry,
you know?
Actually.
Yeah, actually legitimately it is.
No, you might be the Sartek guy that no one likes because you keep getting picked up by search and rescue.
Also, if I take water, I have to take a backpack because if I don't, which I also don't really want to take a backpack, like in the summer, it's just going to get hot or whatever, then like, I don't want to carry the water. And, you know, and like,
that's fair.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I sound like a wuss, but like,
you said
I
just carry a life straw. Right?
Like, I might have to hold Mariko's hand coming down something. I might have to hold Ivory's hand. Oh, my hand's free. Where am I going to put this water? So, I carry water in a backpack, but realistically, Mariko kindly packs the sandwiches and the snacks for our family. And so, yes, as you mentioned, bring snacks for your family. Sandwiches and snacks, really. We just pack, like, I'll just pack a couple snacks, like bars or whatever, in the backpack. And then, water just for yourself and your children. Sunscreen, obviously. I've got a ginger kid, so we don't go anywhere without sunscreen. We've got one ginger, one blonde child, so they glow in the dark.
Yeah, so that's good.
We're full of SPF in our household. that's really it. I mean, because as I said, we don't do anything that is, you know, that's going to take 7 hours or whatever. And so when you're going to these accessible places, I mean, it's, you know, really, you can leave a lot of stuff in the car. You know, like, what's the harm of, I'm only going to be out of the car for 2 hours or whatever. So bring enough snacks and food and water, as it lasts you for 2 hours, then you're all right.
I'm like the direct opposite. So I love the contrast because I was the kid. This is such an embarrassing story, but I'm still say it anyway. I was so overprepared that I would just bring everything, absolutely everything. So I went to my very first hockey game with my uncle. He actually passed away this summer, so I've been telling this story a couple of times. But I was going to my very first Canucks game. I was very, very excited. And for whatever reason, I didn't have to go through the security check of mom and dad for my backpack while going with my uncle. And so I had packed a variety of different things, one of them which was my grandfather's old wood planer, solid metal. And probably weighed about 10 pounds just on its own. And, because you never know, you might need a wood planer. The reason I bring it up is because I haven't gotten any better over the years. My kids are now starting to follow my footsteps, and they're starting to bring, we were going to like a friend's house or something, and he's got his knife sharpener, he's got the Leatherman, he's got a flashlight, he's got all this stuff. It's like, we're literally going 15 minutes down the road to go say hi. Like, no, but you, Dad, you always say we got to be prepared. You got to bring everything. And so there's a fun balance to be able to strike there for sure. Of like, you can bring too much. And so, yeah, the wood planer would definitely be way too much. And so mom will be really proud that I shared that story and told the world.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah. I don't have a Backroads map book. So, I mean, they just shared one of my photos the other day.
I got like multiple versions at different
people
versions
should,
frame.
If you're going to ever hit the back roads, you should have a map book. If you're going to go anywhere near a logging road, like know where that goes.
Totally.
I mean, we went to go, where were we going? Oh, we were going to Little Huson Caves recently.
Oh, so like up north.
Yeah, yep. Up north there. And there used to be signage, very good signage on how to get there. And so whatever, every 2 kilometers along these logging roads, you'd be like, oh, it's coming up. But 100% like just one of those signs was missing. And so that's all it took for us to take make 7 attempts to try and find the right road. And eventually we did. But I'm like, no joke, 7 attempts at going for about 4 minutes down the wrong logging road and being like, nah, this isn't it. We better turn around. And so having a map book is key if you're going to go anywhere that's on a logging road.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very essential. I assume that most of the places, one of the things I was going to ask is that we've mentioned so far, probably have cell service at some point or another, or is it kind of spotty?
Yeah, I would say that Sombrio Beach, I don't believe, has cell service. Mm. I think that Mystic Beach has definitely has some along the path at some point, but understand that there's going to be points where you don't have any. I believe that Sandcut has some. Most of them, I would say, do have some. So, if you're going to go through through those parts on the Guadafica Trail, on the highway there, you will lose cell reception at some point. Just around Souk, you'll get some back during as you pass through Shirley, and then you're basically not going to get any again until you get to Port Renfrew.
Right. So one of the things that I'll tell people a lot of the time, if they're going to go and explore any of these places that may be spotty, and that's what you're using, you know, kind of as your main navigation. So like you're going to go figure it out. Go on Google Earth, super simple. You can do it on any device and then zoom in on that specific area that you want to be there, either the regular maps or like the actual topographical. So like actually looking at the ground, actually looking at the trees and the beach, and then, you know, kind of circle where you're wanting to go, and then and take a picture, take a snapshot so that you've got that saved in your phone. I love telling people that one because at the very least, then if they go, okay, this is the reference spot of where the parking lot was, here I was, you can kind of, you know, reference back a little bit at least, especially if you're not going very far.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Also for Google Maps, just for how to get somewhere, like if you were going to go to whatever, San Joseph Bay up north or whatever, like at some point, as soon as you get kind of past Campbell River, you're not going to have cell service
for 100
years.
For about,
Download offline maps.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're not going to have a map and you're going to hope for just some signage and, don't put yourself in that situation. You can download the offline map of the entire of Vancouver Island and it's not going to take up that much space. And then you never need to worry about having service when you're in your car.
Absolutely. I think Backroads Map also does like a digital version that you can download and then you can have it on your phone too, which is also really nice. I'm not sponsored by Backroads Map, but they do a great job. Like you can't sing their praises enough. Well, it's been super fun.
Yeah.
It's great to be able to catch up and also, you know, talk about some really amazing places and highlight some spots that, especially for, I'd say, you know, Nanaimo South, there's some really amazing waterfalls, amazing beaches and trails for families to go, for individuals to go. But just to be able to connect with the outdoors, because that's something that we're both really passionate about and you continue to be an advocate for, which I really appreciate. Thank you.
Really oh, my pleasure. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, and to be able to put all the time and effort that you put into all of this, it's a real resource to be able to have. So thanks so much for coming back on the show, Dylan. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us on this week of the Wild Islander podcast with Dylan Benson. If you'd like to follow along with Dylan's adventures, you can follow him on Instagram at BetterWithAdventure. Thanks so much for listening in. We're looking forward to hearing what places you have found of Vancouver Island, what places that you find special. And we're looking forward also to hopefully this being a resource for you, your family, and your loved ones as you explore this incredible place.